We're about to begin the kinos. Which before even looking at them, we would think is different paragraphs that we'll say that will help us connect, help us remember what happened in the temple, with the destruction of the temple, and what that means for us. But, as we're going to see tomorrow, there are several times, I counted so far at least six, that the kinos that we're going to say have absolutely nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. For example, the kina number 11 is about Yirmiyahu talks about Yoshiyahu, the Navi who died. That was not during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't on Tisha B'Av. Or kina number 21, Chaf Aleph, the Arzei Halavanon. It's about the ten Tanayim who died al Kiddush Hashem. They didn't even happen at the same time. That wasn't about Tisha B'Av. Kina 25, Mi Tein Roshi Mayim. That's about the pogroms, we'll call it, during the First Crusades, year 1096, when several towns were destroyed. The Jews were massacred. That was over 1,000 years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And then in Kina 41, Shali Srufa Ba'esh, that happened. That's about the 24 wagons, the cartloads of Talmud that were publicly burnt. That happened even later than the First Crusades. So why is it, if we're mourning about the temple, and why is it that we speak about all of these obviously horrific national tragedies that befell the Jewish people, but why are we talking about that today? Additionally, tomorrow we're going to have the opportunity to hear from Mr. Yosef Lefkovich, who's a survivor of many concentration camps. And after, thank God he survived, he became a Nazi hunter and devoted his whole life to trying to find any Nazis that were surviving. And he's going to introduce two more kinos that were put into the kinos book not that long ago about the Holocaust. So again, like why here? Why are we going ahead and speaking about these things now? So it's Rav Moshe Feinstein actually has a tshuva. The Biskarov said this as well. After the Holocaust, there was a movement by some people that there should be a fast day. There should be a fast day to commemorate the Holocaust. And Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva that is not what we do. And as we see in Kina 25, the one about the Crusades, it says there explicitly that all tragedies that befall the Jewish people on such mass levels, at the end of the day, they're rooted in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. What we're mourning is not just the temple, this gorgeous, amazing, beautiful temple that is no longer with us. It's very hard for us to even to connect to. We don't even know what it means or what it was. But it's the result of the destruction of the temple. With the destruction of the temple came a certain level of Hester Panim, that Hashem hides His face. He's no longer revealed as much. We can't see Him as clearly. And when that happens, there's opportunity for greater tragedy to occur. And therefore, that which happened in Worms and Rhineland and those cities in Germany, in times of the Crusades, the Holocaust, the burning of the Talmud, all of these horrible, horrible, tragic events that occur on some level is rooted in the fact that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, but not the physical, gorgeous building. That we don't have Hashem revealed to us in the clear way, in that relationship which protects us from those potential tragedies. But it's not just about thinking about what we're missing. It's thinking about what we could do to repair it. What could we do to bring it back? What could we do to bring back the revelation of Hashem, the clarity of Hashem? What could we do to bring back our relationship? So I try, over the course of Tisha B'Av, I try to think about certain tragedies that happened over the course of the previous year, as much as I could, you know, when you go through them, sometimes you feel it, so it's fresher. I try to think about those episodes and try to connect to them, because of course everything is rooted in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And this year was definitely not a year that is hard for us to find, where in mass scales, with people that unfortunately died with the virus. What happened in Meron? My wife met a woman last week. She lives in Beitar. She's a Hasidisha woman from the Karlin sect. And right before Shavuos, a few minutes before, there was a tragedy in their Beis Medrash, where the bleachers that they were standing on fell, and unfortunately a few people were killed. And she told my wife that the Rebbe said to the congregation that for some, I don't have exact details, but their shul, their group of people, they weren't affected so much by COVID. They, thank God, they weren't hit so hard. And in Meron also, nothing happened to them. No one in their immediate community were affected. And the Rebbe said, all of a sudden now we got woken up, something happened to us. Of course, afterwards, the war and what happened in America, in Miami, so many grand, if you think about it, in such a short period of time, so many grand, tragic events that happened. And all of us were affected. All of us felt something. All of us worried. All of us were looking at the news, like, what's going to be? What was? What's going on? We felt it. We felt. We still feel. We feel for what happened and for the people that were hurt. And that's a mourning that we could have today also, to rethink it and to feel it. But how do we rectify it? What can we try to do at least to try to make it that this doesn't happen again? What can we try to do to bring the redemption, to bring that geula even faster? So we find something very fascinating. I'm not going to go through all the different examples, but just name a few. Throughout Jewish history, before a certain level of redemption, a certain level of a high, there's like this intense darkness. Speak about the case in the Chumash in a minute, but you have it in the times of the Inquisition, that was horrible for the Jewish people, and many people afterwards moved to Tzfat, where there was a rebirth of Kabbalah and Halacha. There was all of a sudden this tremendous light that came about. After that, there was the Bar Kokhba revolts, which resulted in Hasidus, whoever knows their history. There was, of course, the Holocaust, which afterwards brought us to where we are today, where we have the State of Israel, and we have so many people coming to Israel, being able to learn in Israel and live in Israel. Probably the most learning that has ever happened in the history of the Jewish people now. But for some reason, there's like this big darkness, intense darkness, before the light, before that positive redemption. Why does Hashem have to do that? If anyway he's going to bring the redemption, why does it have to get so bad? Why does it have to get to such bad places? And I'm not one to explain Hashem's ways, and we can never understand that. We understand there's some plan, and we can't ever exactly pinpoint it. But I do want to share one idea that we find in the Chumash, which I think could help us tremendously over the course of our Tisha B'Av. When Hashem tells Moshe that it's time to go bring the Jewish people out of Egypt, so he tells him that it's the time, everything's in place. He gives him the instructions of what to do. He gives Moshe the secret sign, what you have to know so that when you get there, they're going to know that you're the one. He could tell the Zakenim, the elders. And Moshe goes down, he's all ready. And he gives it to the elders. He says, it's me. And they accept him. He's the Redeemer. He's going to be the one. Great. Everything's set. We're ready. It's time to go to Paro. Tell Paro, it's time to let my people go. Here's the climax, right? We have Moshe and Aaron and the elders. They start to go to the palace. The hopes are high. Their hearts are pounding. I mean, they've been there for hundreds of years now, enslaved in Egypt. It's been horrible. And it's time. It's time to come out. They're all ready. God gave them the sign. It's ready to go. But that's not what happened. We know it's not what happened. They get there. Moshe and Aaron plead their case. And what does Paro say to them? He says, what's going on? What do they want? What are they asking me to get out of here? They want to be redeemed? Forget it. Now, you're going to have to make the same bricks, the same exact quota of whatever it was that you were making beforehand, but I'm not going to help you make them. You're going to have to make them, and also you're going to have to get your own straw, and you're going to have to get the mortar, etc. Whatever is needed, you're going to plus, you're going to have to do all that, plus you're going to have to keep the same quota of bricks. So obviously this is an impossibility. There's no chance in the world that the Jewish people could go ahead and do this. And they struggle, and of course they can't make the quota. And the pasuk says that what happened? The Jewish supervisors of the people of Israel, those who Paro's taskmaster had appointed over them, were beaten. The shotrim, the supervisors were beaten. Why haven't you completed your quota to make the bricks like you did yesterday and the day before and the day before? So these officers, Jewish officers, that were overlooking all of the Jews that were supposed to be making the bricks, they got whipped and they got beaten because they weren't able to go ahead and do it. And obviously the Jewish people are upset, and they're upset at Moshe and Aaron. Like, why did you have to do this to us? You made it worse for us. It got worse and worse. Why do you have to even open your mouths? Moshe complains to Hashem. He says, why did you do this? You sent me down to redeem the Jewish people and you made it worse. And Hashem says, watch what I'm about to do. And the redemption and the geula and the makos, the plagues, everything starts in motion. So the question is, if it was the time to go out, then why did Hashem have to make it that when our Moshe goes to tell him to get out, that it gets worse? Why did they have to drop another level? It was time to go out. It's time to go out. It was bad already. It had many hundreds of years of very, very difficult times. Why do you have to drop it now, momentarily, to a whole new level? And the next question. After they get beaten, after the Jewish supervisors get beaten for not making the quota of bricks, the pasuk says something very interesting. Vayiru shotrei b'nei Yisrael osam bera. The Jewish supervisors, they saw the bad, they saw the misery of the Jewish people, saying, you can't produce any fewer bricks. You have to keep the quota. Totally out of place. This is after they're already whipped for not filling the quota. What's going on over here? So Rashi says that the pasuk is saying, what does it mean? They saw the bad. They saw. They felt the pain. They felt the pain of the other Jews. They felt it. Okay, very nice. But that was beforehand. The pasuk should have said this beforehand. Before, when they told them about the bricks, they felt the pain. This is after they already got beaten. It says that. What's going on over here? So, Rav Eliel Lapian says the following answer, and this I think is super super powerful. and practical for all of us. He says as follows. The Medrash says that how are these bricks supposed to be made? Every guy is supposed to make a certain amount of bricks. The Egyptians came to the supervisors, again they were Jewish, the Jewish supervisors, and he said to the Jewish supervisors, you know, we counted the total amount of bricks, and you only have 100, you're supposed to have 200. You have 50%. We'd like to a record of every single person, how many bricks they made. And we're going to go ahead and punish each individual person for not making his quota. It wasn't on the supervisors. They were just the reporters. And the supervisors said, we're not telling you. We're not going to tell you what each individual guy did or didn't do. They said, what do you mean? It was their job. We need to know who did and who didn't. And we're going to punish each one. We're not telling you. I'm sorry. We're not telling you. Why? Because they felt the pain of each individual person. It was bad enough that they had to be working. And it's bad enough that now they have to go ahead and work in a way that's impossible to even make the quota. We're going to get them in trouble for that also. We're going to take the beating. They felt the pain of every single Jew to such an extreme level that they could not fathom that the other Jews would go ahead and get punished, get more than just the extra hard work that they had. We're not going to let that happen. And therefore, they got the beating. The beating came on them because they didn't do it. And that's why the Pasuk, after they were beaten, says that they saw the evil, the difficulties that their brethren were going through. Because it was because of that they resulted and end up being beaten by themselves. Sometimes people think that why do we have darkness? Why do we have difficult times? Oh, it's maybe to punish us, maybe to fix us. Could be, don't know. But one other reason, or maybe the only reason, that we have that is because it's to be mitorer, it's supposed to wake us up to to intensify our feelings for other people, that we care for other people. When we have an episode like that, it rocks our world. It wakes up, oh my gosh, why can't you stop looking at the news every 5 seconds? Do you think something's going to change? No, because like you hope, like you're so worried about what happened over there. What? I remember the night of Meron, many of you were there. I wasn't. And I was sitting there trying to get in touch with people. We couldn't get in touch with anyone. It was impossible. And every second, I'm calling again and again. I was so worried. Where is everyone? Parents are calling me. I'm calling that. It was a disaster. That was because it was my people. It was very, very close to me. I felt it in a much more intense way. But every tragedy that happens to us, to Klal Yisrael, we feel it on some level. When these things happen, it wakes us up to feel for other people in a much, much greater way. Sometimes we don't have enough mitzvos for the redemption to come. Sometimes we're not ready yet for it to come. So Hashem needs us to trump the normal ways of getting redemption. And that is, like the Gemara tells us, that kol merachem al b'yosav, anyone who has compassion and pity on other people, Hashem has rachmanis on us. Meaning, even if we're not worthy, even if we didn't do what we're supposed to do, but we could still have a redemption if we're able to go ahead and be merachim and care about other people in very, very, very sincere ways. And when these types of things happen, it should affect us. It shouldn't affect us because we're interested. It shouldn't affect us because, wow, this is fascinating. It should affect us in a very, 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 very deep place. And it should trigger us to act towards people, to care about people, to try to help other people, to try collect money for other people, whatever it is. We all have it in our lives. We all know people that are going through difficulties. We know people that have personal issues. We all know it. So what does that do for us? What does that change in us? That we go ahead and we try to help them, to care about them, we cry about them, we daven about them, daven for them. All of these things have to cause us to act in a very significant way. The Jewish people, it's time to go out. They were on the 49th level of Tumah. They weren't worthy of coming out. Hashem made it that it got a little worse so that certain people would stand up and go to like intense, extreme caring about other Jews, and then they'd be ready for the salvation. And those were these shotrim, these taskmasters. They stood up, they cared about their brethren in a very significant way, that they were willing to take a beating instead of them. And then Hashem said, watch now. Watch what I'm about to do, because now the Jewish people are worthy. Over the course of Tisha B'Av, we have to try to contemplate, to just think about what the Beis HaMikdash was, read a history book, learn about the facts, what happened. It's not enough. It's good, it's nice, but it's not enough. We have to think ourselves about what tragedies do to us. Are we empathetic enough? Are we emotional enough? Do we care enough? Do we act enough based on what we're feeling? What does it do? We have to try to raise our consciousness and our empathy towards other people in a very, very significant way. And then Be'ezus Hashem, by doing so, we could have a very growth-oriented Tisha B'Av, come out totally different people caring about other people, and Be'ezus Hashem, that will bring the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, Meher V'Yameinu.
First,